What's up, everybody? Today's episode is brought to you by The Gallery. Once again, our friends based right out of New York, The Gallery is a curated collection of photographs from around the world. While, like I said, we just can't be zipping around like our favorite anime characters to travel to any place we want to. That's why we have our friends at The Gallery to bring these pieces of the world straight to us and you. All of the prints are made from 100% recycled aluminum, giving your wall that sweet, sweet gallery finish. Right now, The Gallery is offering our listeners 15% off their purchase by using the code 15OFF. Go to thegallery.com, that's thegallery.com, so your wall will never be boring again. Now, enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. This is Weebcast. I hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. I'm just gonna get right into it. There's been there's been already a few cancellations already in weekly Shonen Jump. I even over just the past week talking about how Unceremoniously, a manga that was doing okay for the American or English speaking audiences, but hasn't been really connecting to the domestic Japanese audience. And that was the
I
was in one of the greatest anime shows on the internet. I can't even remember the goddamn manga's name that was canceled from Weekly Shonen Jump just a week ago. No, of course I didn't forget that shit. Of course. I'm the greatest. They call me MJ. The podcast pen game, right? But it was the ghost. It was the Time Paradox Ghost Rider manga. And look, cancellation is part of every, it's just part of the DNA of Weekly Shonen Jump. You know, part of the reason why Shueisha's magazine has been just so successful over the years is because of its cutthroat editorial policy, canceling just about any series that doesn't see immediate commercial success. And this is remarkably different from the other Weekly Shonen magazines, which generally tend to afford newer series more time to kind of prove their worth. But, you know, as such, anyone who really follows Weekly Shonen Jump on a regular basis, will have no doubt to have to deal with the heartbreak of cancellation at, you know, some point or another. But for me, personally, I've been greatly affected by the cancellations, such a series such as Noah's Notes. Oh my, Noah's Notes. My sweet, sweet Noah's Notes. An incredibly original fantasy series that deserved just more time to develop. Mitama Security. One of my favorite gag mangas in the roster. Which I kind of developed a really complex relationship with. I should talk about that sometime. And Act Age, which recently came to an end after a series of just shocking controversy. But how do you deal with the situation? And that's the question I'm going to be attempting to tackle on this portion of the show. Although we need to get a couple of things out of the way first. Because firstly, this part of the episode is just going to be heavily focused on Weekly Shonen Jump. But what I'm about to teach y'all, what I'm about to drop down for y'all, these gems, these nuggets of gold and wisdom from your boy C-Dub, you can apply these lessons to any cancellations in any and all different Shonen magazines from different publishers. Secondly, all this comes on the provisory that it would be morally right to continue to bat for any given canceled series. I mean, obviously, when it comes to ActAge, I can't really personally condone what the writer did. So let's leave that off to the side and not do that. But without further ado, here are the three things made by C-Dub himself that you can personally deal with a weekly Shonen Jump cancellation. Number one, raising a goddamn fuss. That's right. You know those people who spend all day on Twitter replying to popular tweets with fan-made videos? You know, those. You know what I'm talking about. You know the ones. Yeah, they may be annoying, but you know what they do right? They get the word out. And that's the first duty of anyone who is taken aback by a weekly Shonen Jump cancellation. Tweet about it. Shout about it. Write about it. Or talk about it. It's very possible that if you raise enough fuss about it, it might just come back. You know, although you're obviously more than welcome to make a fan cam video. Like a Joe Mitama fan con. Can I get one of those? But there are definitely ways to go about grabbing people's attention let's say, I don't know, significantly less annoying. And the first one would be to post about it. Talk about the ending. What made the series so special to you? And let others know about it. See, that's important. No one's going to know how important it is if you don't speak up about it. What do they say? What's that saying that, last episode, I just did an episode on millennials and the gambling anime of Kaiji. So I know a lot of millennials are listening to the show right now. Most of them are millennials, I believe. What do y'all parents say all the time, right? What do y'all parents would say to y'all? The squeaky wheel gets its oil. If y'all really care about a series so much, and it's cancellation, you gotta talk about it. You gotta post about it. Raise awareness. You know what I mean? It's much easier to do it nowadays. We got power. And the second would be theming your profiles around it. If you love something enough to be sad about its ending, hey, look, then your profile picture is definitely worth it dedicating to about it. You know what I mean? I liked Mitama Security, but I'm not sure if I liked it enough to make Joe my profile picture, but we don't have to talk about that. But of course, you should temper your expectations, because when it comes to weekly Shonen Jump, there isn't really much prospect of a series coming back after through a cancellation, all right? Usually it's because the fan base isn't there to begin with. You know, nevertheless, if anyone's going to raise a fuss about it, it's going to be the vocal minority. Only just try to be conscientious and don't go about harassing any professionals or creators. I'm serious. That's not really going to earn you any sympathizers. You know what I'm talking about? But part of my hobby, part of my role here is to raise fuss about things. It's why I've done so many freaking podcasts and so many episodes on just different animes with guests talking about unfortunate endings and all that kind of such sort of matter. But so I'm hoping I'm doing a decent part job on my part to grab people's attention, little as it may be. But attention is attention, right? Although strength comes in numbers, where to go to state. Y'all remember that? I don't know how many of you guys actually watch basketball or pay attention to sports, right? That might have just gone over like 15, 20 people's heads just now. Sure, I'm not even gonna waste time. All right, look. 20, you know, Golden State, basketball team, dynasty. Or used to be a dynasty, but, you know, I still think they have a chance to come back. But, you know, their model was strength in numbers because everybody had to do their part. But so you look, get a group of friends. get a group of friends around you. That's even better. I'm sure you've all seen the people who swan about the some sort of hashtag Hive in their bio. They're probably the closest the Weekly Shonen Jump community gets to fan cameras, but so be it. Let's get into something a little more concrete, though. Another way. The second way. Brought to you by Cedar. Support the series. Like I said, this is a little more concrete. And that might actually help you to deal with a Weekly Shonen Jump cancellation. Is supporting the series. It goes without saying that you should be reading your favorite series legally when it comes to Weekly Shonen Jump. There's almost no reason not to do so with the Viz Media service. It's great. I'm not sponsored by them, but I wish I was. So Viz Media, hey, Weekly Shonen Jump, Viz Media, sponsor Weebcast. I saw that Shonen Jump has a podcast now too. Y'all wanna come on to the show? Can I come on to your show? Can we do that? Production team? Can we reach out to Shonen Jump and I can get on the show? All right, I'm moving along. Jeez. But get the Viz Media service. Read all your favorite chapters free. The latest chapters free. And you want to read some of the older ones, pay the price. I think it's like $3 a month. It's nothing much. But I do appreciate that it is different for different magazines and different publishers. So even if you're a big fan of the Kodansha series, it should still be your duty to shell out or buy either the digital or physical editions. But that being said, physical editions are undoubtedly the best way to support the series. Because not only does the publisher and the creator get a cut, you're also contributing to the sales figures and supporting your local retailer. Look, so you're doing, you should look. And the design, especially if you like the Kodansha, which I do tend to get, I don't get the Kodansha at magazines every single month. I'm not really big on that. I usually check online and see what chapters are coming out for that magazine, for that monthly edition, before I buy them. But that's me. You do. The only reason why I like to do the Viz Media service and pay that with the fee, because I know what I'm gonna get, and plus it's not bad. It's not a bad price. But look, for me personally, I'm a digital guy. I like buying my stuff digitally so I can read, whether on the iPad, desktop, and seldomly on the phone if I have to. But there are others who like to buy manga at their local comic book shop. And look, it's a little more bothersome. Look, you gotta, first of all, you guys have to find a comic book shop near you guys. That could be a struggle all in itself. But the idea, I don't enjoy the idea of putting money in the pockets of one Mr. Bezos, but still, it's up to you. Amazon, Amazon's a good, look, they're fucking good. They're fast and they're reliable. I can't help it. I just can't help it. And those Spy Family volumes, God, I want all the volumes. All the covers are great. Every single cover is fucking great. Speaking of Spy Family, I reviewed the first volume of Spy Family several weeks ago. So definitely, if you like Spy Family, you've been reading Spy Family, you want to get a little taste of it. Not sure if you would like it or not. Make sure you check out my Spy Family episode, because I reviewed that in a little bit more. Because it's a damn good series, and it's going to be animated. It is. I don't know when, but it will. But if you read your favorite canceled series in English, via the Shonen Jump app, then you might want to consider importing the Japanese volumes. And I say that because not only is this a little more unique, and you'll seem special, but it comes with several goodies that might not be available with the English release. So There's some incentive there. But furthermore, although publishers have gotten better as of late, you know, there's no guarantee that your favorite canceled series will get an English release, you know. Viz Media may have published Yui Kamiyo after its cancellation week was turned up, but that's just a drop in the ocean and a very, very, very rare incident. Luckily, importing manga volumes from Japan is easier than ever because there are so many sites that you're able to do that on here now, including Amazon Japan. But the one I like to use is Honto. And that's because its stock can be a little, you know, its stock can be a little patchy at times, you know, focusing more on the ebooks than it does the physical volumes. But its competitive shipping rates and excellent customer service is the two things I value the most here. Mandrake is also a good shout. If you're looking to either buy in bulk or give pre-owned volumes a new home, don't worry, Japanese people tend to take very, very, very good care of their books. So do not worry about that. And to the third and final reason, or way to cope and with the one of your series being canceled, is to keep the memory alive. There's no doubt that the world of manga is a fast moving place. Today's hits is tomorrow's old news, and people can forget very, very quickly about something that is just no longer running. In this sense, it's up to you, the diehard fan, the strong weeb, to keep the memory of a canceled series alive over the coming months, years, and decades as it threatens to disappear from history altogether. Now, this is slightly a little different from the earlier strategy of, you know, raising a fuss, as it speaks to the long-term legacy of a series once it has concluded in the weekly Shonen Jump magazine. But rather than the short-term reaction to its cancellation, but in many ways, it comes back to all of the points raised. It is by raising a fuss that you can keep the conversation going. And it's by building up a physical collection that you can maintain a concrete representation of your time with that beloved series. See, both are really ways to keep the series memory alive into the future, but the importance of a physical collection in particular becomes quite obvious when you're looking at the recent example of Act Age. While it was canceled in Weekly Shonen Jump for all the right reasons, it is now in danger of passing completely out of existence. Because as its digital releases have been removed from online storefronts, its collected volumes will no longer be reprinted. And as such, only those who either bypassed the DRM or managed to get their hands on a physical volume will be able to experience the series, you know, a set of circumstances that may mean the memory of Mario Tatsuki and Shio Uzaki series may fade forever. But throughout history, there have been many things lost to the annals of time. When Rome was sacked by the Gauls in 390 BC, we lost records of early Roman history and were forced to rely on later contemporary accounts. Over 20 original books of the Bible were lost to time, mostly due to the early Christian church's constant rewriting of the biblical canon, but Like I always say, that's another topic for another episode. I'm just kidding, I'm not gonna talk about the goddamn Bible on weekends. What the hell you doing? Even many films are considered lost, including a shocking amount of French filmmaker Georges Méliès' pioneering work. But such facts speak to the fragility of life. Still, you can counter this by building up a physical collection. Although things will degrade over time, you know, no one can take the books away from you, though. Of course, you can invest in merchandise as well. That's always an option. But chances that are that if your favorite weekly Shonen Jump series has been canceled, it probably doesn't have a lot of merchandise to begin with. And now that I was talking about building up a physical collection, I should probably talk about collecting because I do have a sort of conflicting, complex relationship on the idea of collecting. That being said, I have, you know, on the other hand, it's undoubtedly the best way to support a series you love, canceled or not. You know, buying the physical copies, building up a little collection for yourself is, for a series canceled or not, is a good way to support it. But it can, at the same time, you know, often feel like accumulating stuff for the sake of it. You know, buy that book because it's part of the series. Buy that figure because it's one of the characters. But, you know, it's just, at the same time, it just feels like collecting. It's just kind of, it just feels like accumulating stuff for the sake of it, you know? You know, buy that book because it's part of the series, or buy that figure because it's one of those characters, you know? And consumerism isn't really a problem in of itself, but, boy, can it take up a lot of space, right? You know, as my result, my stance on collecting as follows. Only buy stuff that has a concrete use, such as manga volumes and branded apparel. For me, as much as I love figures and art books, not really for me, unless I really, really liked it. And no, buying stuff for the sake of it, call it the anti-collectors, collectors club, if you will, I don't mind. But for example, some of the things I have been buying as of late include the Boogie Pop novels, old Weekly Shonen Jump issues, and some of my favorite ongoing and just canceled series. This include A Gravity Boys, Mitama Security, Fire Punch, Shy, CMG Simulation, and hopefully all those things turn out more than just a useful than a figure. We'll just sit on my shelf in a room collecting dust. But regardless, I accept that there are undoubtedly a drive among much of our reader base, you know, well, much of their reader base and most of our listenership to collect things. I know there's some people who are listening. I know some people I talk to on Twitter, Instagram, and other places love collecting stuff. But part of that reason is because so much of the younger generation don't tend to own anything. We don't own our music. We don't own our own movies. We don't own our own houses. And part of that is because we, as a, if I dare use the word otaku, want to surround ourselves with things that we love. And there's nothing wrong with that. Whether your stance on collecting is, you know, one thing's very clear. There's a way to survive Weekly Shonen Jump cancellation. All you have to do is find it. What's up? Look. Oh, wait, no. Let me say that. Hey, yo, what's up, Weaves? What's a Weavecast episode if I don't start out like that, man? What's the point? Nothing, right? But what's up, man? Look, it's C-Dub, a.k.a. Chris, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. The Independent Variable. What's up, everybody? Look, got a cool show with you guys today. I got the, like I said, I just talked about, cancellations. Your favorite manga gets canceled. I gave y'all three things, gave three ways to cope, to move on, and be productive. But before I get into the weekly manga corner, I wanted to talk about something real quick. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because, mainly because I'm really excited to share with you what I got with the manga corner for my three chapters. Shh. I'm keeping a secret. But that, and also because I don't want to jinx things. And you're probably like, Chris, what are you talking about jinxing? What are you jinxing? please don't get one of my favorite shows canceled. Please don't get one of my mangas canceled. I'm not promising things, but we are in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We got some problems. Have you guys been watching the God of High School anime? Have you guys been watching it? For people who love God of High School, if you've been keeping up with the anime, because I know I have. Let me ask you out there, Tower of God folks out there. Y'all been claiming the Tower of God manga was one of the greatest things out there, right? Have y'all been watching? Have y'all watched that first season? How was that season? About average, subpar. Not as great as you thought it could have been. Looked great though, right? Animation was pretty sweet. Fight scenes were pretty electric. Actually, you know what? I can use those same words, same descriptors for another show, such as God of High School. God of High School has some great ass fight scenes right now. The animation's clean and smooth as hell. MAPPA's doing some work. Doing some serious work, and it looks goddamn great. But similar to God, Tower of God, wait, little less, Tower of God, it didn't have this problem so much, but it did. It had a similar to a certain extent, and God of High School is going through it right now. Tower of God and God of High School, it wasn't like they were highly touted as mom was for having great plots. All right, no one's gonna tell you that Tower of God or God of High School were driven by their plot. And I know people are looking at it like, Chris, but what about Tower of God? Tower of God is an epic, it's like the One Piece of manhwa. It's driven with character narrative and great writing. Come on, get your head out your ass a little bit there, buddy. Tower of God is fun, very action oriented. The pacing's pretty cool. It's got great characters, great fights, a few great characters, a lot of good characters, very few great ones. And if you're just looking to chill, get some good fighting action, Tower of God is your thing, with a little bit of plot. And God of High School in comparison, I really ain't got that much plot either, but, and I'm gonna get to that, why we in trouble here. But yeah, don't talk Tower of God like that, man. Come on, don't put it on a pedestal like that. I like it a lot. Do I love it? No, I don't. There's a very few things I love. You're gonna find out about a lot about me on Weebcast. I think I might have said that. I might have said this a lot on the show. Like a lot of things, but don't use your love on everything, all right? I like a lot of shows. I like a lot of manga. I like a lot of things. But there are very few shows and manga that I love. I don't like to use that word very often because it means a lot. I like One Piece, but I love Detective Conan. I like Bleach. But I love Yu Yu Hakusho. I like Naruto, but I love Boruto. You ain't gonna catch me slipping. Not today, no sir. But Noblesse just shared a 5-minute kind of teaser for the anime streaming. I think it's gonna be on October 6th. So we have Tower of God. Right now we have God of High School, which is gonna be wrapping up in a few episodes. And then for the fall, we're going to have Noblesse. And Noblesse, please, I am putting my faith into you, because the first two, Tower of God and God of High School, were okay. Tower of God was okay. Anybody who says that it was better than okay, I know, look, I know it is the fanboy about your favorite manhwa and your manga and all that stuff, but there's a lot of people who maybe haven't read the manhwa. A lot of people who are just checking out the anime for the first time. You have to cater to those fans as well. And it didn't do that great of a job. It did okay. It was good. It wasn't great. And got a high school. To be honest, it's looking a little worse for wear than the Tower God situation. And I love God, and I like God of School like a whole lot. I thought it was actually better, one of the better ones out of the manhwa lineup. Especially when manhwa was real crazy back in 2016, 2017, man. Even I know that it's lost some steam. It's lost steam. The manhwa's lost steam, all right? Over this last year and a half. I ain't gotta tell you that. You probably already know that. But the anime right now, this first season, the music is good. The fight scenes are good. The animations have been looking really tight. But God, when there isn't anything electric going on, the plot is see-through. And it's weak and it's thin. Even thinner than Tower of God. And the changes that they have made in Tower God and in God of High School respectively have been a little worrisome, just a little. So Noblesse, October 6th, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be putting my hopes in it. I claimed that it was, that these three anime could have maybe been a new big three. And it's still a possibility. It's still early. My prediction isn't completely blown out of the water, right? We still got some time. Tower of God next season, whenever that comes. So hopefully they do it better. God of High School, they need to do better in their next season. And Noblesse, please. Just production IG, man. Do it big, do it right. Come on. We got our hopes riding on you. But let's just look, you know what, let's go straight into the weekly manga corner, boy. Let's get it. It's Weavecast Radio, and welcome back to another edition of the weekly manga corner. What is up? I am back. We back. Weekly Manga Corner is back, baby. And you know what the deal is, right? It's the ending of a week. Your work week just ended. You're trying to start the weekend off right. You might want to flip open your latest issue of Shonen Jump. And you're like, man, what the hell? Wait, back it up. Who out there is flipping open a issue of Weekly Shonen Jump, right? Y'all get that shit digitally, right? Y'all should be getting it. Like, y'all should get the Viz Media Shonen Jump app, man. Please get that. Join the service. It's great. Look, you'll never see manga the same way again. It's great. It's a great service. Or Manga Plus. I like Manga Plus as well. You can either one. But for Shonen Jump, if your favorite stuff come from Shonen Jump, give it a listen. But look, like I said, it's the ending of a week. You've made it. Congratulations. Now treat yourself to a little bit of Chris giving you the rundown. I do this every Friday. On the latter half of the show, I pick three chapters from the Weekly Shonen Jump, the past issue. And I kind of talk about it, a little chit-chat. Just with you, me and you, one and one. Yeah, me and you. Yeah, look at my eyes. Well, pretend you can see my eyes. And just me and you. Real intimate. Just talking about manga. Feel the paper against your skin. Oh, shit. Sorry. Digital. We've moved to digital. Look, Shueisha's legendary manga magazine has been releasing every single week for over 50 years at this point, and it still has enough exciting series in its roster to justify its hallowed status. Now, look, plus, with the Viz Media now publishing the entire magazine in English, there's never really been a better time to jump right in. You see what I did at Jump Weekly Shonen Jump? All right. In this episode of, or in this edition of Weekly Manga Corner. I didn't, no echo on that one, production team. Don't put an echo on that. I don't want to jar my listeners, all right? I care about their ears, okay? And I want them to stay precious. I want them to keep listening to their favorite podcast, listen to their favorite music. Hopefully their favorite podcast is Weebcast, number one anime manga show on the internet. But it's me. This is Chris, aka C-Dub, aka Mori, okay, aka the Independent Barrel, here to investigate the latest and the greatest in the world of Weekly Shonen Jump. Telling you basically what's worth your time and what's not. So, in this week, we're chatting high school family, Koko Kosei Kazoku chapter 1 and 2 actually, Me and Roboco chapter 8, and Magu-chan chapter 10. And if you're hearing those titles, you're like, first, you're probably asking a few questions to yourself right now. First of all, Chris, I don't recognize any of these titles. Where's Chainsaw Man? Where's My Hero Academia? Where's One Piece? Where's, I don't know, maybe that Phantom Seer stuff that you talked about last week. Where's some stuff that I recognize? But look, I wanted to switch it up a little bit. Switch the gears on you a little bit. It's a gag manga party up in this, on this week's edition of the Weekly Manga Corner. The new series continue this week with Koko Kosei Kazoku, although next week I will be reviewing another previewing chapter 1 that should be dropping in Weekly Shonen Jump this coming Sunday, so check that out for next Friday. I'll probably be talking about that on the Weekly Manga Corner for next Friday. But for this Friday, I'm gonna talk about a new manga that premiered in this week's issue. And I've seen this, the translation as being Our Blood Oath. And I'm not quite sure how accurate that is. From my knowledge, it's an unofficial title. The unofficial translation. Don't use me as your source. My boy Chris on Weebcast said, Kosei Kakuzu is the, Our Blood Oath manga and all that good stuff. Look, that's the unofficial. We'll probably get an official translation sometime if this manga, sticks around for a little longer than a few Weekly Shonen Jump issues. But considering the inventive choices Viz Media has been making with, Phantom Seer, which is titled The Faintly Visible Boy in Japanese. I very much like Phantom Seer better. We're going to be adding the high school family before Koko Kosei Kozuku. So I wouldn't want to jump the gun, but as an aside, thank you so much for the continued growth on this podcast. I must say, it's been a wonderful ride, and I want to keep on riding with you guys, bringing a positive attitude to anime and the manga scene on all social media platforms and just in the world in general. But I really hoped you liked the first part where I talked about manga cancellations. I really hope you guys enjoyed that segment. I enjoyed it because we're going to see some more. Like, I predicted it weeks ago that we were going to probably get some manga cancellations. Some of them are going to start with some gag compilations. Hopefully we get a sports manga, hopefully, in the up and coming weeks, before the end of the year at least. Hope you liked that segment also. I just wanted to point that out real quick. Let's move on. Let's get right into it, because right now we're going to be doing High School Family, Koko Kosei Kazoku, Chapter 1 and 2. Ryo Nakama is a bit of a fan in the Weekly Shonen Jump. His last series, Isobei, Monotogatari, proved popular enough as a one-shot back in June of 2013, I believe, to return later on that year as a proper series. And even though it was only intended to replace One Piece for 1 week, as Oda was suddenly rushed into the hospital, with this in mind, it wouldn't be fair to expect that Nakama Wright might bring at least some of the magic to Kokosei Kazoku chapters 1 and 2. And I'm here to say it first, unfortunately, however, that doesn't appear to be the case. In general, even though the first two chapters of the series were published at the same time, it doesn't feel like there's much to judge it on. In total, Now I'm looking at the Viz Media real check. These two chapters come out in at a little over 42 pages, which is far less than the regular 60 pages or so normally afforded to new series in Weekly Shonen Jump. Keep this limitation in mind. Then as we go on to critique High School Family, Kokosei, Kazoku chapters 1 and 2. Now let's move on to the concept. You're probably wondering, like, come on, Chris, just jump, get to it, man. The concept of the series is pretty much as it says, you know, on the front of the tin. Kutaro Itani, 15, age 15, wakes up one morning to find that his entire family is enrolling in high school alongside him. His father, Ichiro Itani, his mother, Shizuka Itani, and his little sister, Haruka Itani, and even the family cat, Gomez. No last name on that one. Kokosei Kozoku Chapter 2 then carries on from this premise as an established in Chapter 1, following the family as they kind of enter high school for the very first time. And try as he might, Kutaro isn't able to stop his parents and siblings from attracting, you know, a lot of attention to themselves. Most especially during the student orientation. Now, there are some good moments in Kazoku chapters 1 and 2 when our main character, Kutaro, is finding out to his horror that his whole family is coming to high school with him in chapter 1. The revelation is kind of delivered with a good amount of comedic pacing throughout the use of, you know, repeated lines and the panel layouts and all that good stuff. But chapter 2 then elicits some chuckles, you know, as it turns out that Haruka has been chosen as the student representative due to her incredibly high exam score. And the way that she introduces her family is both just humorous and just bittersweet. I'm trying to find the panel right here. Yeah, I got it ready. When she's introducing her father. My father was a hard-working salaryman. He always wanted to go to high school. He took the plunge, and he's a high schooler now. And then we just kind of see our main guy, Kutaro, just like clutching his head, like, please just end this. And then, like, the Haruka goes on to talk about her mother, Shizuka. She's like, my mother, Shizuka, she had been a homemaker, but she wanted to try something new. After studying like mad, she's a high schooler now. And everyone's like, a housewife? Oh man, she's gorgeous, dude, and all that good stuff. But look, hey, you know, props to them for chasing their dreams of being a high school student. But nevertheless, if Shueisha was expecting an instant hit with something along these lines of like Isobe, Montorogari, then they were kind of sorely mistaken. There isn't much to rave about when it comes to Kokosei Kazoku chapters 1 and 2. Just mainly because it has a pretty straightforward premise, and it goes exactly the kind of places you'd expect. Compared to the previous work, his one shot back in 2013, compared to Isobe Monotogari, Kokosei Kazoku kind of feels distinctively average. Whereas Isobe was set in the Edo period, Kokosei is set in the modern day. While Isobe is presented as a ukiyo-e traditional art kind of art style amongst our, Kokosei just looks unrefined. And while the prospect of seeing of how a slacker samurai might behave in medieval Japan is exciting, seeing how a teenage boy might react to his whole family coming to school with him is exactly as you would expect. And not much really further than that. But then again, I suppose I didn't hate Kokosei Kazoku immediately upon launch. Like Mia and Roboco and a 12-page series at the back of the magazine isn't really going to have much of an effect to the overall quality of Weekly Shonen Jump in the grand scheme of things. But perhaps the best thing to do is just to temper your expectations a little bit. And, you know, as an instant viral hit, this ain't it, chief. This ain't it. But on to Meat and Robaco, Chapter 8. Yes, another gag manga, boys and girls. Speaking of Meat and Robaco, my relationship with Shuhei Miyazaki's comedy series has been, what's the best way to put this, complicated as of late. You know, for every chapter has made me laugh, such as Chapter 3. I've been pretty unimpressed with installments as chapter 7, which go in strange and just uncomfortable directions. But nevertheless, look, me and Robaco, chapter 8, does happen to be one of the former. One that has elicited a lot of chuckles, I'm not gonna lie, while also making some, you know, interesting references as well. But look, call me crazy. But I'm fairly convinced that Me and Robaco Chapter 8 is a parody of The Greatest Robot on Earth arc from Astro Boy. This arc from Osomu Tezuka's classic manga was later adapted by Naoki Urasawa into the murder mystery Pluto, and is widely considered one of the best, if not the best long-running series, to be honest. But what makes me think that Shuhei Miyazaki is taking notes from the god of manga Tezuka himself is the fact that Robaco is declared to be the ultimate weapon. So if you're starting to see the similarities here already, by many of her opponents. And this title immediately made me think of Pluto from the aforementioned series, who sets about destroying the 7 strongest robots in the world, to prove that they are, in fact, the greatest robot on Earth. But in this, only in Me and Robaco Chapter 8's case, the situation is reversed, because the strongest robots in the world come to challenge Robaco. Is it Robaco or Robaco? Robaco? I'll say Robaco. That's probably the right way to say it, right? Anyway, but Robaco, even if she isn't really interested in fighting, but furthermore, this structure basically is bone by bone is the same as Osamu Tezuka's classic arc. Repeated battles, you know, battles between opponents, you know, only without any such characters such as Astro or Uran. So, but you may think I'm taking this comparison a little too far, but it would serve to illustrate how influential Astro Boy has been on the representation of robots in manga, you know, as well as Japanese media in general. It's really hard to think a world without Shuhei Miyazaki isn't acquainted with the works of Osamu Tezuka, if not intentionally using the same, using them for the same purposes of parody. But either way, Me and Robaco Chapter is also pretty damn funny. To a certain extent, it benefits from this repeating structure, though, like taking the joke further and just further each time a new opponent appears. And but there is also the dialogue. Each time Robaco defeats an opponent, she attempts to pass it off as some sort of innocuous act natural to the over, you know, to an overmaid. Bando, of course, isn't really buying this one bit, though. And this feeds into what one friend of mine described as one of the series' strongest points. The mystery of Robaco's past, trying to figure out what on earth she was made for and how she ended up with Bando, is apparently half the fun. And while, you know, this has never been enough to entertain me in the past, I'm starting to see, you know, some of the appeal in Me and Robaco, especially with the Chapter 8. The obvious disparity between her violent actions and barely believable excuses is hilarious. And even might offer some answers to those searching. But my third and final chapter of the weekly manga corner. Do you guys want me to hit the echo on that one? Our final chapter for the weekly manga corner is Magu-chan chapter 10. Finally, we got Magu-chan chapter 10, and I've been a fan of Kamiki K's supernatural comedy series since the very beginning, for sure. And I should have talked more about it on the show at some point, but don't worry, this won't be the last time you hear of Magu-chan. And I must say that the rookie author hasn't dropped the ball one bit, delivering chapter after chapter of entertaining Lovecraftian antics with a kind of a sweet love story to boot. And only reading chapter 10 of Magu-chan was when the penny finally dropped and I finally realized why I love this series so damn much. In many ways, Magu-chan really reminds me of an old Saturday morning cartoon. And this is partly because of the cartoonish designs for both the human characters and the primordial ones, but also because of how well-defined these characters are. And just like any classic Looney Tunes short or even episode of Lupin the Third, it feels like you could insert the cast of Ruru and Magu in and Napu anywhere, into any situation, and get some laughs out of it. And that's something that a lot of gag series running in Weekly Shonen Jump honestly do not have. Because with Magu Chapter 10, in turn, is a perfect example of this. The antics this week revolve around Ruru and Magu, while they are visiting the Fujisawa family restaurant at the behest of Ren's sister, Rin, and dealing with an unexpected attack from Magu's rival, Napu. And kind of things play out almost exactly how you would pretty much expect, but that's half the fun, because the appeal of episodic comedy series such as these is knowing where things will end up based on the character's temperance, eventually resetting to the status quo. But only Magu-chan Chapter 10 is not entirely episodic, nor is it entirely based on a well-defined characters. For one thing, it continues on from last week's chapter, you know, picking up on the thread where Magu gave Ren their BFF book, and also takes the time to introduce a new character, Rin, who is like the ultimate big sister. You know, she gives Naputaku a good pep talk at the end, which is really nice. And I think she also offers a job to this little creature. But anyway, the actual A to B route to resetting the status quo is actually quite entertaining. And develops in surprising ways, because once Magu is trapped by Napu in the trash can, the god of destruction is forced to regenerate their body into a miniature form and traverse a busy kitchen, like something straight out of like Ratatouille, you know. And there's even a fair bit of tension as they do so, making for an effective climax. But if my mind wasn't already made up on the merits of Magu-chan, then Chapter 10 has certainly pushed me over the edge. There's nothing really quite like this in Weekly Shonen Jump right now that gives me quite the same warm, comfy feeling. And much like a Gravity Boys Chapter 32 a few weeks ago, Magu-chan Chapter 10 is also the chapter that convinced me that to collect this series sometime physically in the future. I may have to talk about that. Talk about my manga collection, but you know, that's for another week and another recast episode of somewhere down the line. But you can read High School Family, Kokusei, Kazoku Chapter 1 and 2, Mi Roboko, Roboko Chapter 8, and Magu-chan Chapter 10 for free on Viz Media's Weekly Shonen Jump. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? Get some good manga talk in there. Hope you guys check this series out. I love those three gag series on Weekly Shonen Jump are some of the strongest on the roster right now, especially Magu-chan. So definitely be checking. Just check it out. Check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I'm not sure how the first one I talked about, the the family in the high school, my high school family one. That's going to be an interesting one. Like I said, it was a chapter 1 and 2. I read chapter 1 and 2 because they released at the same time in this issue of Weekly Shonen Jump. And it didn't really, like I said, it really didn't offer a lot of substance. The premise is fairly predictable. You kind of see where things are going to go. And at the same time, it wasn't really all that funny, but it had its moments. It definitely had its moments. And me and Ruboko, which I have seen a lot of people disparage a little bit, on Twitter and such like that, but it's getting better though. It's definitely getting better. It's getting a little funny, and Magu-chan obviously I think is goddamn stellar. I think it's getting better, and I think this convinced me that I want to definitely keep up with Magu-chan for my comedic manga needs. But you already know what time it is. You already know what time it is. Thank you for coming to the weekly manga corner with your boy C-Dub, aka Chris, aka the independent variable. It's your boy. Look. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode for real. Like I said, please keep sharing and listening to the show. Share it to your weeb friends, share it to your weeb family if they're weebs. Spread it around. I'll tell people about it for sure. I'm gonna keep pushing it. Just keep supporting the podcast. It's been great. You guys' support has been tremendous so far. Keep listening, keep sharing. I'm loving the growth. And if you want to support it even further, and you want to feel closer to the show, and offer also sweet benefits as well, support the show officially on our freshly launched Patreon. at patreon.com/weebcastshow. There's three tiers available for you guys to get a little bit closer to the show and get more exclusive content. I'm doing bonus shows. I'm doing early released shows just for the patrons. I'm doing monthly AMAs. I'm doing special guests episodes, guest episodes that you will only patrons will be hearing. I'll be doing shows with a co-host as special Patreon episodes as well. And I'm really so ready to introduce you to my co-host that will be helping me do some Patreon only episodes. It's gonna be a check it out. Like I said, patreon.com/weebcast show. Check it out there. Please support the podcast officially, and I will love you forever. Shout outs too. I forgot you get shout outs as well onto the show and all that good stuff. Be a part of my daily live show. Weebcast Hangout on the Podbean app. But I think that's it, you know. Hey, make sure rate, review, subscribe it. Do all that good lovely stuff on wherever you guys like to get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, wherever you guys listen to this. Make sure you guys rate it, subscribe it, tell me how you like it, give me feedback, because I love feedback, man. I love feedback and I love you guys. But thank you. Thank you for letting my voice into your ears, into your homes. I'll be here next week with my Shoujo episode. Next week, it's gonna be here. Seriously, my Shoujo episode. I'm going to be talking about everything shoujo, the history, the publication history, the importance of it, my thoughts on it. Then I'm going to be giving you my top 20 shoujo anime and shoujo manga. It's sure to raise some eyebrows. I'm telling you, I got some interesting picks, y'all. Y'all going to love it. Make sure you check that out next week. But look, I'm out of here. I got to get out. I'm out of 2000. It's your boy. I'm out of here. See you.